D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mace, and Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Mitch Light, college football editor at The Athletic. And Mitch, a big game in our fair city this weekend, Vanderbilt and Tennessee. Everything broke right for Tennessee this past weekend to get them back into the college football playoff mix. But I know enough Vols fans to know that they are as nervous as all get out about this game on Saturday. You've witnessed plenty of Vanderbilt-Tennessee games. What's your read on this one this weekend?
Well, first, do you think we can use this as a lesson, and not just for Tennessee fans, college football fans? Let's point back to last week. Everyone freaking out, spending all of our time with our Tennessee, Indiana, all this debate, and then it all works out. So, like, when we're freaking out next year, whether it's in Tuscaloosa, Athens, or whatever, you think college football fans are mature enough to say, you know what, I'm not going to worry about it.
No, we're not. None of us.
You're asking a lot of sports fans in general, Mitch, by telling us not to freak out.
So I just find that all humorous. I think the intrigue here is, in previous years, last few years, Vanderbilt has not been a very good team. And, you know, only the most maybe irrational Tennessee fan could talk themselves into a 2-9 Vanderbilt team going to Knoxville and upsetting them. But Vanderbilt's just good enough this year. They've been good. You know, obviously lost 3 out of 4, but still playing relatively well. Vanderbilt is just good enough this year to cause some problems for Tennessee. So I think I understand that the trepidation from a Tennessee fan standpoint was so much at stake. Just obviously not wanting to lose the rivalry game, finish 10-2, but all but wrap up a college football playoff appearance. And I think Josh Heupel said it best. Like, at Vanderbilt's best, they're good enough to beat Tennessee. But we haven't, you know, for a lot of reasons, haven't seen Vanderbilt's best probably for the last month. So I'm very interested to see what happens Saturday. Is it going to be a situation like the South Carolina game where the opponent kind of dominates Vanderbilt on their line of scrimmage, especially from a defensive standpoint? Or is it going to be earlier in the year where Vanderbilt can keep an opponent that's better and faster and quicker than them off balance with some of the things they do offensively? So, yeah, it's just tons of intrigue in this game.
Now, Mitch, is there a scenario where the – because we were talking about this earlier – where the Big Ten gets 4 teams in, the SEC only gets 3 teams in, but the ACC gets 3 in also? Is there a scenario where that happens, where the SEC is 1 less than the Big Ten?
Well, as far as the ACC, I'll tell you the ACC part getting 3. I guess the scenario there would be Miami beating Syracuse. So then you have Miami and SMU in the playoff. And let's say SMU wins a close game and the committee doesn't drop Miami that much for losing, and Clemson dominates South Carolina. Clemson's number 12 right now, which seems kind of high. They dominate South Carolina. They would probably move up a few spots. So I think there is a scenario there where 3 teams could sneak in. I think the Big Ten's pretty locked in, and the SEC, I wouldn't say it's locked in at 3 right now, but just seems like a lot was solved this past week. And we've seen the committee change at the last minute. They go week to week and all that stuff. So I don't think we should, the fact that Clemson's 12 isn't set in stone that this is what they think, that Clemson's knocking on the door. But it was an interesting one that jumped out to me last night.
Now, quickly, individual awards. We saw Travis Hunter being nominated or finalist amongst all these awards except the Thorpe Award. Why do you think that is? If he's a finalist for the Defensive Player of the Year Award, why isn't he finalist for the Thorpe Award?
I have no idea, and I'm not. I don't know, and there's just different committees vote. The Thorpe Award has nothing to do with the Bednarik. It's different people on it. Could be just 2 dudes, and Maybe they forgot about him. I don't think they forgot about him. Long story.
Hey, Deion Sanders forgot who Kevin Byard was a few years ago.
Yeah,
remember,
he didn't know who he was.
Yeah,
you got a point.
Well, Mike Vrabel. NFL Network.
Urban Meyer apparently doesn't remember Mike Vrabel.
Exactly. He worked for him for 2 years.
Real long story. I'll try to make it short. One of my first years at Athlon, you guys remember Roy Williams, the wide receiver at Texas? Mm-hmm. Not there.
Sure.
Yes.
So we just literally forgot about him. He was the first team. He was a defending first team All American. Came back, and whatever reason, we omitted him from our first, second, or third team. And I used to do a ton, as Willie knows, used to do a ton of radio interviews promoting the mag. I'm down there in Austin, and I'm trying to BS my way through why we didn't have Roy Williams on there. Rather than I just said, you know what, guys, we made a mistake. So I'm not saying they forgot Travis Hunter existed, like we forgot Roy Williams existed. But, Derek, that's a good question. I think Deion, I mean, who cares? Like, you know what? Yeah, he's going to win the Heisman. He's number one pretty much in every list and all that stuff. It just makes the Thorpe Award look bad, not Travis Hunter look bad.
Yes, but the Thorpe Award's got to be looking, wait a minute.
Exactly.
Wait, can we go back through the votes again? What our criteria? What
can we sneak them in?
Yeah.
Yeah, or they need me on their PR team, how to explain that.
Yeah. Mitch, do you think at the end of the day that there will be a team in there with three losses? I think this is what we all were wondering before the season started, is, you know, if you're comparing a team maybe with a weaker schedule but has a more glistening one-loss record against a team that's been through a tougher schedule, they might have that, right, when it all shakes out, that choice.
Possibly. I mean, some things would have to happen. Like, let's say Indiana loses to Purdue or you know, I'm trying to, you know, Alabama knocking on the door at 13, but really not one step ahead because Arizona State is ahead of them in the, you know, they're 16, but they're ahead of them to get into the playoff. So I think that's the scenario right there. I mean, Georgia loses to Georgia Tech and beats Texas. Sure. You know, so there are scenarios. I don't think it's as likely as it was last a couple weeks ago, maybe. But there are, you know, again, there were plenty of upsets last week. Weird things can happen this week. My guess is there won't be, but I would not, you know, I would not guarantee that by any stretch.
Notre Dame has got to be sitting there loving the criteria because they have sort of avoided getting into any kind of comparison, even though they haven't played a great schedule.
Yeah, they're one of the. In fact, I was just editing a Notre Dame story for Friday, and they lead the nation since October 1st. In scoring offense and scoring defense. They are first in point differential for the season. They have quietly been really, really good, and I know the schedule hasn't been great, but I have no qualms. I don't think Notre Dame's in the compare to Indiana discussion. Now, I know they have the worst loss, but to me, they have shown throughout the course of the season that they're one of the best 6-7 teams, maybe even better in the country. Now, we'll say they go to USC this week, and everyone's kind of making fun of Lincoln Riley and all this. They've got five losses. They've led in the fourth quarter of all five losses. It's kind of a woulda, coulda, shoulda year for USC. I think Notre Dame goes out there and handles business, but I would not chalk this up as a sure thing.
All right, real quick, Texas A&M, do they have a chance at home against Texas?
Sure. I mean, all the pressure on Texas, they have not – played great. Even the home game at Kentucky, they kind of screwed. They got into a big lead, kind of screwed around a little bit, let Kentucky hang around there. Quinn Ewers, the ankle, you know, is an issue. I don't know if there's been any results of an MRI. I guess we would know if he wasn't playing, I guess the injury report comes out today. So I like Texas in this game, but wouldn't be surprised at all. And to me, it's one of the most highly. I'm looking forward to this game, regular season game, more than any I can remember in probably the last 10 years.
I saw David Ubben said that it's the most toxic rivalry, David Ubben of The Athletic, of course,
yes.
That it's the most toxic rivalry in college football, Texas and Texas A&M. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think probably so. And, you know, David lived there in Texas for a while, covered the Big 12. Just the fact that they haven't played in so long, it's like two schools, two huge state universities, the cultures between the two schools, very different. I always like to throw out there that Ole Miss and Mississippi State is underrated in its hate, and I made the mistake on your show a couple of weeks ago of comparing Ohio State and Michigan that was quickly corrected by Joe Rexroad, who texted me and said that's like a friendly tailgate compared to the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry, so I'm sorry, Joe, if you're listening. But yes, I would agree with David. The fact that the first renewal of this rivalry, so much is at stake, just adds so much to it.
Mitch Light, college football editor from The Athletic, joining us as he does every Wednesday talking college football. Mitch, great stuff. Thank you as always, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, guys. Thank you very much.
Mitch Light joining us on the program, 615-737-1025. Normally, we have Jonathan Hutton at noon, but we get to have him next. So Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us. We'll talk Titans and some college football with Hutton. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.